Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
I'm sure most of you will remember that theme tune, but if you don't straight away, you will now when I tell you that Dr. Shane Bergen from the UCD School of Education is here today to talk to us about dinosaurs.
Absolutely.
Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, Claire.
It's not just Jurassic Park, is it? There's Barney the dinosaur. There is Rex from Toy Story. There's Godzilla, controversial. Is he a dinosaur? We might come to him a little bit later. But there's always been a fascination, hasn't there, with dinosaurs for lots of people. Children with the toys, and there's the movies, the bones and the fossils. So you're going to answer all of our dinosaur questions today. That's what we're up to, isn't it?
That's the deal.
Do you have a favourite dinosaur?
I do. I have an individual dinosaur that I'm very fond of. A few years ago, I worked in Imperial College in London, and it's right next door to the world famous Natural History Museum, which was built at the time of Darwin, kind of tell the world about all the new things they were collecting at the time. And in the main hall, when I worked in London, was a dinosaur cast called Dippy. It was a Diplodocus or Diplodocus, depending on what side of the Atlantic you're on. And this massive creature was discovered in the late 19th century in America, and a cast of it, a replica, was made and donated to the museum. And it's an incredible 26 metre long skeleton, and it has a huge long neck and a huge long tail. 26 metres, that's almost three Dublin buses in length. And it was one of the largest creatures that ever lived. Not the largest, but one of the largest creatures that has ever lived. And I think that in part is why we are so fascinated by dinosaurs. They were huge.
So Dippy's the favourite one. Were you a big fan of the Jurassic Park movies, having been so close to the almost the real thing?
I was. I have distinct memories of going to the square in 1993 with my mum and my brother, and us seeing Jurassic Park. I was 12, and I just remember being absolutely terrified. But it was brilliant. It was a movie of a generation, and it was a movie of a time, really, in science as well, because, you know, the DNA and genetics was very, very on the rise at that time. And there was a study published by researchers in Berkeley in California, where they extracted the DNA of an ancient bee from amber, which listeners might remember was the basis of Jurassic Park, that they extracted DNA from a mosquito that had eaten the blood of dinosaurs, and it was encased in amber. And from that, in the film, they were able to recreate a whole host of dinosaurs and plant life. And so there was an awful lot of kind of like excitement about the possibilities of DNA in the early 90s. Now, of course, we know now that it's completely impossible to recreate a Jurassic Park reality in the real world, because...
Can't be done.
No, because we've never found DNA that is that old. And DNA degrades with time. So the oldest DNA that we have is about a million years old. And it was discovered in the permafrost in Siberia. And a paper was published on it last year in Nature. And they discovered the DNA of ancient mammoths. So they're the woolly elephants.
Yeah.
But it's only a million years old. And the last dinosaur died out 66 million years ago. Well, the last big dinosaur died out 66 million years ago. Listeners may be shocked to hear, we are surrounded by dinosaurs still in our world.
Fossils.
No. All birds are forms of dinosaurs. So
you're stretching it there now.
Well, you see, things evolved from that point. So when the giant asteroid hit the Earth 66 million years ago, and it struck in the Gulf of Mexico, 75% of all species were wiped out. Nothing larger than a Labrador survived. But many dinosaurs did survive. And of course, that reset allowed mammals to become the dominant species. But the dinosaurs that did survive evolved into birds. And so the largest group of invertebrates, that's animals with skeletons inside of them, are birds. And so all birds are descendants of dinosaurs.
There you go. Why were they so big?
Yeah, there's a couple of theories that are out there. The first one is that the climate back then was a lot warmer, so there was a lot more vegetation. So you could eat more, and therefore you could get bigger. And so they evolved to get bigger. That's one theory. Another is a sort of an arms race. So the bigger you got, the less likely it was for anything to eat you. So if you're a vegetarian, a dinosaur, and you're out there eating the grass and the trees and the leaves, etc., then the T-Rex that comes along is less likely to be able to devour you because of your size. And we can see analogies today with elephants. So elephants that live in the savannah of Africa and in the Indian subcontinent, they're not troubled by big cats in the same way that a gazelle might be because of their size. And the last theory that's out there is that because all of these creatures were cold-blooded, so that means they had to be in the sun to heat up in order to go about their activity in the day, like to be charged up like an electric car, then the bigger you are, the more you'll hold the heat. So you're acting like a giant hot water bottle. So if you're a very large dinosaur, would be able to kind of keep going for longer. But there are three theories. Of course, we don't know because we don't have dinosaurs today to know for sure.
Bigger battery. I'm going with that one. Can we imagine what might be had the dinosaurs survived?
Yeah, we can. So the asteroid hit, it was an extinction event. It wasn't the only big extinction event in our past, and it certainly wasn't the biggest one, but it's the most recent one. And so this asteroid, which is 14 kilometres in diameter, that's the distance from the GPO to Dunleary. Mm-hmm. It smacked into the Earth in the Gulf of Mexico in a shallow sea in the Yucatan Peninsula. Now, research published recently from the University of Texas said if it had hit just a few minutes earlier, then it would have landed in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and it would have caused less devastation because it would have been more localized. So the dinosaurs in the local area from tsunamis and whatnot, they would have died out, but there wouldn't have been the global catastrophe. So what happened was it hit in the Yucatan Peninsula, a huge amount of dust and activity resulted. There was no sun for a couple of years, so no plant life could survive really. And so everything that ate plants was in trouble, particularly the big things. And everything that ate the plant eaters was in trouble too, particularly, again, the big things. This is why only little things survived. So if it had been a more localized event, a lot of paleontologists have said that, you know, there would have been nothing to knock the dinosaurs off the top spot. But lucky for us, because if the dinosaurs hadn't been extinct, then mammals may not have gotten the chance that they did get. And so you and I mightn't be here talking
today. And the chance, the space as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's the top dog kind of rules the roost until all of a sudden they're knocked off that position.
Were they intelligent?
Well, I suppose you could say today that the descendants of dinosaurs are intelligent. Birds are incredibly intelligent, particularly the crows are particularly in intelligent. And so we could say that today we do see clever birds. But of course, evolution doesn't select for intelligence. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing to be intelligent. Remember that the large dinosaurs like Dippy that I mentioned at the start of the slot, those creatures lived for over 100 million years despite their tiny, tiny brains. And, you know, evolution is there to just keep the species going. But we would think as humans that cleverness is the ultimate. But let's see how long we last.
Explain to me how, because we've spoken about Dippy quite a bit and we have this image of Dippy. But how do we know what Dippy looked like?
Yeah, it's a very good question, because when we dig up the bones of dinosaurs as fossils, which are sort of stone records of these creatures, it's very rare for us to find a complete dinosaur. We find parts of it. And so it's an incredible task to put those bits together. We also recently have found fossilized versions of skin and of muscle. And so from that, we've learned that dinosaurs, as depicted in the likes of Jurassic Park, that mightn't have been the most accurate depiction. That okay. Things like T-Rex, that they're the big meat eater, they might have had a more feathery exterior. So almost chicken-like, but in a ferocious way. Can you imagine?
I want to see that.
Chickenosaurus.
Emmett has been in touch. My dad showed me Jurassic Park when I was very young. It terrified me. Mam was not impressed, but I've loved them ever since. I still get excited about them at 31. I even treated Dad to the new film last week. But Emmett has a question. Could you ask Shane why crocodiles survived the extinction event and the dinosaurs didn't? His favourite's the T-Rex, by the way.
Yeah, okay. I think a lot of people's would be the T-Rex. You wouldn't want to meet one, though, I imagine. You're right. But they're kind of a ridiculous creature because they have these huge giant legs and a tiny forearms. Their arms or their front legs would have been no bigger than our own arms.
No way.
Yeah, so absolutely. So you often see it depicted in memes on the internet. You get the T-Rex trying to do things. Rex in Toy Story was famously clumsy as well. But of course, these things were absolutely terrifying with their huge teeth. But as to the listener's question, the crocodile would have evolved from things that survived the Great Extinction Event because of their size. So if they were small, they would have kind of not needed as much food to keep going. So they would have been able to do with less, where those big creatures like a T-Rex would have starved very, very quickly, unfortunately.
Before we finish up, the Godzilla question, the Godzilla dilemma.
Yeah, Godzilla, he's been around since the 50s in 31 movies, incredibly, and he's a fictional monster. It's important to stress that. Giant prehistoric amphibious reptile is how he's described. Basically a dinosaur. And famously in the story, he was a mutated version of a dinosaur that resulted from sort of dodgy Russian nuclear testing in the 1950s.
Okay, I'm sorry, my head is back with the T-Rex arms. Like, that just doesn't make it. How do they not topple over?
Well, I suppose their bottoms are quite heavy. And regardless of how puny their arms might have been, I don't think the arm would have been the thing you were worried about as the mouth of a T-Rex was coming towards you.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Shane, thanks so much. Fascinating as always. And Shane Bergen there on dinosaurs. Text us if you have a favourite one. 51551. Time now to go to the newsroom and to Vivian Traynor.